We'll start with this weather-related update of the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. As of this time, at 2 o'clock on January the 8th, Monday, each of the three Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb summits are still planned to go off as expected. If there are changes, you will find them either at willag.org on the homepage or by hitting the IFAS link at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And if you're registered, we'll likely send you an email as well.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Land Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of January, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at AgMarket.net. Frayne Olson from North Dakota State University will join us, the agricultural economist. We'll preview a bit of what's happening on Friday of this week from the United States Department of Agriculture as they release some final numbers from the 2023 growing season and update the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. March corn for the day settled at $4.55, down 5 3/4. May 5 3/4 lower at $4.67 1/2. And December corn at $4.89 1/4, down 4 3/4. March beans, a dime and 3/4 lower at $12.45 1/2, the settlement price. The May futures, $12.54 3/4, down 9 1/2. And November at $12.02, down 6 1/2 cents. Soft red winter wheat, 19 3/4 lower in the March at $5.96 1/4. The hard red down 12 3/4 at $6.15 1/4. Live cattle futures were 62 1/2 cents lower. Feeders were up 92 1/2, and lean hogs were 60 cents higher. Crude oil down $2.85 today at $70.95. Here to discuss some of these numbers and to talk about the marketplace is Kurt Kimmel. He's with AgMarket.net. Good Monday to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, glad to be here, but sorry, the market's a little lower, Todd. That's not good if you still have some grain to sell here.
There are a lot of folks that have grain to sell. I suspect they're nervous, and I bet they're actually starting to call you and say, Kurt, can you help me cover this? Do you have some thoughts about what the market has been doing, what possibilities might be?
Yeah, the possibilities with the uncertainty of things today, it makes it a tough decision. You know, fundamentally, like we had a dry condition in South America, all of a sudden they're getting rain, so let's kind of take the edge off as far as actual production there. We'll unsort it. But to address your question, yes. A lot of guys moved the beans and hung on to quite a bit of corn. You know, beans held in there until about 2 weeks ago, and down we go. Same thing on the corn. We've moved below the bottom end of the channel. If you look at a chart there, if you draw channels, we're below those channel lines, and that's generated some additional technical selling. The hope or thing that looked at here, not to drag this thing out a whole much longer, is a lot of the analysts was looking at 2013 chart, and it's followed it fairly well. And the significance of that is it kind of dipped lower into the January report. And once we had the January report, the grain stocks report out of the way, the market was able to recover going into 2014. So there's a little hope there. But the bottom line is additional storage charges cost money. And what we've been doing is moving some grain and replacing it. The simplest way is with the options. The option volatility is really low in through here. So we've gone to replacing inventories on paper. So if the market continues to move lower in through here, what we have at risk is the premium we pay for that option. But the market giddy ups in through here, we're on board to try to recoup, you know, some value to the upside. So it's a matter of being flexible. If you're waiting for a significant move, you have to store the grain until we get in June or July and see what the summer weather brings then. So a lot of factors to look at on old crop, on staying flexible. More importantly is new crop. Until this last 2 weeks and through here, new crop values were at levels that showed a return. Now we move lower in here. Those returns are getting a lot tighter in through here. And any type of up move in through here, over the next 2 months or so, we're going to continue to be placing in price floors. That way the downside's covered and we don't get into a situation like last year. We got into the growing season, had a little weather concerns, then we went lower. We don't get caught, trapped that way. So price floors is the simplest way to do it, and that leaves your upside open due to the fact that we just don't know how many bushels we'll have to market next fall, being so on this adverse weather pattern coming in next summer.
A couple of things. USDA's reports, the final numbers from the crop production figures will be released along with three other reports on Friday at 11 o'clock. And then over the weekend, it's a holiday. Martin Luther King Day is on Monday, so the markets are closed. Holidays are always interesting. A holiday immediately following a market report might be a lot of, or a USDA report might be a lot of fun. What do you think that report might show?
Yeah, that's the thing. Oftentimes market changes occur over a three-day weekend, so maybe that's what we need to have Martin Luther come through here and help get a turnaround going. The numbers that the ag market team turned in on corn ending stocks for the 23-24 is 1.977. The December number was 2.31, so we're a little lower there. On the soybeans, the ag market team's estimate is a carryout of 247 million bushels versus 245 million bushels there in December. They'll be kind of watching this kind of closely because the Eastern Belt was slow wrapping up their harvest. We'll see how that goes. But probably more importantly will be the quarterly grain stocks report. We're going to see corn estimate about 12 billion bushels last year's 10.8. Soybean ending stocks, the ag market team's guess as of December 1st is 2.935 versus a year ago, December at 3 billion bushels. So this significance of this quarterly grain stocks report, hopefully it'll be an accurate number of on-farm bushels, off-farm bushels, and commercial storage. And it gives us an indication of, you know, how strong, how weak demand is possibly, and in what areas they'll watch as far as if we're going to be overestimating or underestimating this last crop.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care, Todd.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. We're now joined by Frayn Olson with North Dakota State University Extension. He's an agricultural economist, specializes in marketing there. Hi, Frayn. Thank you for being with us. Hope you had a great holiday season.
Yeah, it was a busy time of year. Got the chance to see all the family members, and so it was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Tell me about the marketplace, which has not been a good time for farmers. Light trade usually ensues over that holiday season, and I don't know how much that has to do with the ability of the marketplace to extend either gains or, in this case, losses. Can you give me some ideas of what happened over that holiday season and how that took place and what the driving factors might be?
Yeah. And so I know I've been in with some of the farmers that I have been meeting with and discussing, there's getting pretty some nervousness, especially in the corn market, on saying, well, what is going on here? Is this a shift in an attitude, or is this temporary? What is going on? And they're getting, again, very concerned. So talk a little bit about the lighter trade. I mean, we tend to see that open for the holidays. There's still trading going on. It's just not as large of volumes. And when we get into the smaller volume time periods, when there aren't as many buyers as sellers and there isn't as much trading volume, as much activity, if you will, what tends to happen is that any kind of new news or information may have a bigger shock or impact on pricing and price movements. It tends to be a bit more choppy if you want to look at it that way. So the two things that have been going on, and they're interconnected. A lot of this comes back to kind of the psychology of the marketplace and what people expect to happen in the future. So first, we had some fundamental news. There's some shifts in attitude on the fundamental side, in particular, you know, the potential size for the South American crop, in particular in northern Brazil. That region has been exceptionally dry over the last several months. Been some concerns about what that means for soybean and soybean production. But in the northern portion of Brazil, as they harvest their soybeans, which are starting to happen now in northern parts of Mato Grosso and northeastern part of the region, they come back, typically now come back and plant corn. And so that's the second corn crop, or the safrinha crop, is also the largest in volume. So the weather conditions have kind of a dual impact now as we get into the first of the year. First, what does that mean for the soybean yields and putting on those last few bushels of soybean yield potential? But then secondly, what does that mean for corn planting of the safrinha crop? If it's exceptionally dry, likely see some reduction in corn plantings, especially on some marginal acres that may not have the yield potential. And then again, as we move through the rest of the growing season, what does that mean potentially then for yields and corn yields coming out of that safrinha crop? So the fact that northern Brazil now has been picking up some additional rain showers, and it looks as though the forecast right now is for additional rain to be coming through that region, and hopefully from their standpoint, support the soybean yields, but then also have some better planting conditions for the corn crop. And that's put some negative tone with the anticipation that, well, maybe that South American crop of corn in particular is going to be a little bigger than we first had expected, given the dry conditions. And then the second thing that goes on is, of course, we have the hedge fund managers, those managed hedge funds that also play in the marketplace. They tend to be very short-term in their planning horizons, very short-term in their thinking. And they're starting to see this drop in prices, both corn, soybeans, and to some degree wheat. And they're saying, oh, we've got a negative tone going on. There's also some negative news and negative tone going on in the energy markets. So when the managed funds are trading, they're trading commodities, the agricultural part of their portfolio is actually relatively small compared to the energies. So when they start going short, when they start selling their positions and going short in commodities, sometimes driven by specifically what's happening in the energy complex, that also means to maintain a balanced portfolio, they start selling off some of their ag portfolio as well. And so this negative kind of this negative tone and this negative atmosphere in the energy markets and in these attitude of the hedge fund managers are now spilling over into the ag markets, which is again just adding to that downward pressure we're having on prices. So there's a combination of both some technical trading and some technical analysis going on, as well as some of the fundamentals.
When you look forward to the USDA reports at the end of the week, can they change things?
They often do. So my short answer is for farmers in particular is to be patient a little bit right now. I know it's kind of a nerve-wracking time, but historically, when we look back, there's four major reports coming out on Friday. We have the update for the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates, the WASDE report, which is a monthly update. We're also going to get the annual production numbers, which is the final estimates for acreage, planted acreage, harvested acreage, and yields for corn and soybeans. We're also going to get a quarterly stocks report, which for corn is kind of important because that's really the only way we can kind of accurately track the amount of corn going into the livestock sector. So the guys trading corn tend to look at that, say, are we on normal pace for corn consumption going into livestock, or are we ahead or behind? And then the final one is the winter wheat seedings report. And so we'll get an idea of both hard red winter wheat as well as soft red winter wheat plantings for next year. So those four big reports, there's a lot of data, there's a lot of information. From a fundamental standpoint, that often kind of hits the reset button. I think of it as, we know what was happening over the holiday season. We're getting this flood of information from USDA. We're going to evaluate it and kind of hit the reset and saying, okay, well, given this new information, how do we move forward and start looking into the new year? So I do think there is that possibility. I do think that, again, underlying all of this, the fundamentals do dictate in the longer term, even though we have some shorter term volatility going on.
On the quarterly green stocks report, do you suspect it will show strong usage?
I think it will show strong usage. I know on the hog side, the hog numbers, hog prices have not been, pork prices have not been very strong right now. And I know there's some concerns there. But when you look on the livestock, on the beef side, you know, we have kind of the opposite going on. And tends, what tends to happen as the herd gets smaller, we tend to try and put on heavier weights. So the slaughter weights tend to go up. And as most livestock producers know, the, putting on those last pounds of growth take a lot of feed. So, you know, when the animals are young, they put on feed on weight very quickly. Their growth rates are relatively high. So the conversion factors, that pound of feed to pound of gain, is pretty strong. But as the animal matures, that pound of gain per pound of feed starts to drop off a bit. And so I do expect to see some relatively strong numbers. I don't know that they're going to be really enough to shock the marketplace, but obviously you just never know. And that is one of the things that we're going to be looking at. And again, one of those variables that we're going to try and get a better read on.
The Friday reports usually set the tone right on through the end of March, when the first acreage numbers, this prospective plantings report, comes out for the United States from USDA. I suppose the only other thing that might move the marketplace, well, war could, however, usually just weather in South America. Do farmers now just wait until the USDA report, see what the tone is, and then make some decisions as to how they market?
That would be my suggestion. Yes, I you know, again, I know that it's a very anxious time for a lot of people, given the drop of prices and the kind of on-farm inventories we have, as well as some farmers having inventory in the elevators and paying storage on it. I know there's some anxiety there, but I do think it will pay out to be patient. The other thing that I am looking for, especially on corn, but also on soybeans, are export sales, because that's the other thing that can shock the marketplace. And I do know that we have some pretty stronger export sales this year than we have this time last year. So you compare the exports of corn this year relative to last year. I know last year wasn't a really great year, but we are ahead of last year's pace. And of course, there are some concerns about, you know, the quality of the Chinese corn crop and what they're going to need for their needs internally in their country. They are a large corn producer. They had a pretty good corn year, but there are some quality issues that apparently are starting to show up. So by buying off the global market, they can use some of the international corn as a blend for some of the lower quality corn that they produced in their own country. And so if we start to get some, as prices fall, there's obviously some importing countries that look at that and saying, oh, here's a buying opportunity. And I tend to use that as a benchmark to say, well, have prices fallen low enough now that we're starting to get some additional buying interest? And so that's also one of those indicators, one of those things that I'm watching, that to give me an idea of, well, where do the international buyers consider this to be a value purchase? And I think we're getting very close to those levels.
Yeah, thank you much.
Yep, always a pleasure to visit. I enjoy it.
Me too. That's Frayn Olson. He is with North Dakota State University Extension. Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for here in the United States. That's important this week, and in South America. We'll start with South America. Brazil, Argentina, things changed during the holiday season. How did that take place, and what does it mean?
Well, Todd, over the past several weeks, certainly there's been improvement in the overall weather patterns across much of South America. Obviously, back earlier in December and prior to that, the concerns were mounting due to dryness and heat across much of Brazil, especially the center west and northeastern sections of Brazil, and then far south and into Argentina, then very heavy rainfall and delays in planting and flooding concerns there. Well, things have certainly eased in the past few weeks. It's been wetter up north. It's been drier down south in general. And that same general pattern looks to continue here this week. And so we continue to see a general favorable pattern here as we go through the next 7 days or so. After that, or throughout much of next week, it is looking that northern Brazil will start to shift back into a drier mode and southern Brazil turn more active. and then Argentina will still be getting more rain. So that turned to drier conditions in northern Brazil. Something to keep an eye on, the longevity of it. It's too early to say whether it's going to be an extended time frame like what we saw back early in the growing season, or is this a temporary pattern. But that's going to be the focus of attention here as we go through the next week or two.
Here in the United States, a series of storms or waves will be coming across the country. Can you tell me about those and the impact?
Yeah, certainly a much different pattern here across the U.S. and especially here in the Midwest compared to recent weeks. And we're now starting to see a very wintry pattern, which we are in the heart of winter, but the storm systems coming through look pretty potent, and along with that will be Arctic air and anomalously cold Arctic air moving in. One system will be impacting Illinois and the Midwest here later on overnight tonight into tomorrow, kind of a mix of rain and snow in the south to then primarily snow up north, northwest. And then there'll be wind with that as well. The more significant storm right now at this time looks to be coming up on Friday. That looks to at least take a track. If the computer model guidance holds as is right now, that looks to take a little bit further south and east track compared to this first one. So that would produce more snow, more wind across the Midwest. Things can still change here, but that looks to be right now the more significant, impactful storm here for this week.
As you know, the Farm Doc team and I will be on the road this week in Mount Vernon tomorrow. We'll travel there this evening. Then tomorrow afternoon, we go from Mount Vernon to Peoria. And Wednesday afternoon, from Peoria to DeKalb. We need folks to be able to get into the meetings on Wednesday morning in Peoria and DeKalb on Thursday. How bad might conditions be, do you suppose?
Yeah, right now for Wednesday, things look pretty good. Most of the snow here looks to end by late Tuesday night here, and then be fully done by dawn on Wednesday morning. So, and even winds will be decreasing as well. So Wednesday's not looking too bad right now, and then that looks to persist into Thursday. Yeah, it's more so the Friday morning, and then pretty much throughout the whole day on Friday, that looks to be the next time frame of more significant, impactful weather.
Well, as long as it's not Thursday afternoon, because I'll be wanting to get back to Champaign too from the Cal, but I think that will work. Just offhand, for those who have registered or who are planning to walk into any of those events, we have not made changes at this point to the timings or whether we will be there. Our plan is to put on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. If those things change, we're likely to email you, but you can always check willag.org. I'll put weather updates there. As of today, it says there are no changes at this point, and I suspect it will stay that way for a while, given Mark Russo's weather forecast. Okay, Mark, thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for the forecast, too.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. Just click and play from the website or search out our podcast in your favorite podcast applications. Look for the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.